The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed Daily Scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 5th through Sunday, August 11th. 2024. The commentary for the month of August was written by Chris Metter, who lives with her husband in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where they are members of a bilingual parish, St. Bede's Episcopal Church. They have two adult children. Retired from law practice, Chris has turned her attention to local food ministries and teaching English as a second language. The commentary for Monday, August 5th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 40. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Here's the commentary. It can be difficult to retreat from the world. I recently spent 3 months at a seminary in Central America, where I worked in a community garden and helped to transition the library to online research. I lived in the dormitory with a small but spirited group of seminarians. We were separate but not isolated from the community, encouraged to invite guests in and visit other area churches for worship. I learned in mission that although evil and corruption are with us in every age, there is refuge and renewal in Christ. Being intentional about worshiping with fellow Christians helped me to stay grounded in my core beliefs, and I found sacred spaces to take a pause everywhere. I looked. In this time, I learned that a retreat is largely a state of mind. Now I'll read the full passage from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 5th, how do you retreat from the pressures of the world and live in the way of Christ? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 6th, the day on which we commemorate the Transfiguration. It begins with a passage from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Even though I am church schooled, I had never read the Bible straight through until we did the Bible challenge in my church. The process of reading through the entire Bible in a year, I was surprised by how much I did not know and by how much of the Scripture had been in the dark for me. The prophets of the Old Testament foretold the coming of the Messiah, the morning star, but many people did not heed the signs. In his letter to the early Christians, Peter declares these prophetic signs as more fully confirmed. He boldly claims, or proclaims, that he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my Son." Peter's words are like a lamp shining in the darkness of my confusion. What was prophesied came true. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And the moving forward question, how often do you read the Old Testament passages appointed for each day? And do the prophets illuminate or confirm the gospel teachings? The commentary for Wednesday, August 7th begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 42b. "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. A name is not the same as an identity. I have always gone by my given name, Chris, which has an unusual spelling and, as near as I can tell, has no significance in the English language. My name preceded my identity. In Western culture, giving names with special meaning is not a common practice today. A few years ago, I visited Canyon del Chelly in Arizona with an indigenous guide. She explained that when she was a child, she had been forced to attend a residential school and was given an Anglo name. But in her Diné culture, the children are not named until they take on an identity. Our guide said that because she rode a horse as a child, she was given the name Girl Who Rides a Brown Horse. While she kept her Anglo name, she told us that she used her Diné name among her people, which was her true identity. Jesus gave Peter, also translated as the Rock, a name that captured his true identity. He was a rock among the disciples and a foundation of the early church, which Jesus knew would come to pass. And right now I'm going to read the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you'll see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, Look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. And the moving forward question, what name do you think Jesus would call you? The commentary for Thursday, August 8th, begins with a passage from Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. As a young person, I lived on very little money as I made my way through school, but I never went without. Some modest savings and part-time jobs kept me afloat, and my parents were very generous, providing a safety net I hoped to pay forward. For several years, I have volunteered at various food pantries. During the pandemic, the need was especially dire. Many people were underemployed and unable to buy enough food for the week. The demographic of food pantry clients began to change. It was not unusual to see young families with two working parents in the intake line. Here is where the churches and nonprofits in my community stepped into the breach, calling attention to the working poor. In one program I directed, I was overwhelmed with offers to help, either with labor or donations. In this way, we are the hands and feet of the Lord, who gives us food in due season. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all the flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday, August 8th, is, consider volunteering at a local food pantry, and do not hesitate to receive food or other assistance if you are experiencing a need. The commentary for Friday, August 9th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." We catch a glimpse of the relationship between Jesus and his mother in this passage of the wedding at Cana. Mary knows Jesus is God incarnate, but it has not yet been revealed to the world. I wonder what small miracles he may have performed at home. Mary does not ask or even suggest that Jesus do anything. Instead, she instructs the servants to do whatever he tells you. This might be a good approach to prayer. I question how well I listen to my adult children, realizing they are capable of much more than I give them credit for. They have grown up despite me. If I leave them to their own devices and set aside my hoped-for outcomes, though this is not my nature, they often exceed my expectations. Mary has no apparent expectations of Jesus when she says they have no wine. If we open ourselves to the possibilities, we can receive more than we could ever ask or imagine. And now I'm going to read this passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brother, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. And the moving forward question for this Friday, how can you set aside your desired outcomes in prayer and trust that God will supply all your needs? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, August 10th. It begins with a passage from Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? When we collect a church offering and present it to the Lord, we often recite these words, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thy own have we given thee. These words help me reframe my net worth. Nothing is really mine. I simply have the use of it while I am here on earth. The practice of communal living and sharing all of one's possessions is foreign to most of us. Perhaps we can identify with Ananias for wanting to keep back some of the proceeds from the sale of his land. It seems like a smart business move, and not even Peter condemns this strategy, saying, "Were not the proceeds at your disposal?" The sin is not in keeping back a share of the proceeds, but rather in lying to God about it. Only a few are called to take a vow of poverty and renounce their worldly possessions. The rest of us are merely asked to give what we can to the church. That offering is, and always has been, between us and God. And now I'll read the full passage of Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through chapter 5, verse 11. Now the whole group of those who believed were of heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and bought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. And the moving forward question, during your church's annual giving campaign, are you prayerful about your pledge? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, August 11th, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from 1 Kings chapter 19, 4b through 5a. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Elijah is afraid. He flees for his life into the wilderness. Exhausted by God's work, he lays down and falls asleep. In that time of rest, God sends an angel, and Elijah is refreshed enough to begin his long journey. In many ways, sleep is a mystery. One characteristic we share with other living creatures is the need to sleep. I am a big advocate of a good night's rest. So many things that seem impossible in the dark can be transformed by the morning light. Sleep renews the spirit. Dreams are only possible during sleep, and we can develop a capacity to recall them. I doubt that heavenly messengers ended up with the biblical prophets. I remember one exhausting phase of law school when I considered dropping out. My deceased father came to me in a dream and told me not to quit. I was refreshed enough to continue my long journey. Sleep is a gift. We should embrace it. And now I'm going to read from the passage from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, think of other figures in the Bible who were inspired to act by dreams. Have you ever had an inspirational dream? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.